Welcome to the Hutt City Baptist podcast. For more information, visit us at huttbaptist.org.nz.
It's my pleasure this morning to be able to introduce Rachel. We haven't known each other for a long time, but I have good authority that Rachel is now the General Director of the New Zealand Baptist Missionary Society, NZBMS. So it's really great that she's finishing off our month of prayer and self-denial. As the money that we're putting into our containers is going straight to NZBMS, to continue their good work. And as Baptist churches, it's great to be able to support our Baptist Missionary Society. She's held the role with BMS for almost 4 years, but she served with NZBMS for 7.5 years. Her background includes roles such as the right-hand man to the principal of the Carey Baptist College. She's been short-term mission coordinator at InterServe New Zealand, and a senior lab technician at FRI, Forest Research Institute. That impressed me. Somewhere in all that she has completed, and the other things of course, somewhere in all of that she has completed a BSc and a Bachelor of Applied Theology, so she's been a busy woman, and we're really looking forward to what she has to say today, and I would like to pray for her as she comes up. Father, thank you for this month we've had looking outward further than we normally do. We pray that Rachel would be able to express the things she wants to say to us today and the things that you want to say to us today. May our hearts be open to hear your word to us today. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Welcome you up on stage.
I don't know about you, but when you hear your own bio, you wonder who that person is. And it's many years since I've done some of those things, but kia ora koutou e te whānau, namushka, ni hao, sawadee ka, buenos dias, good morning. It's really good to be here. One of the things I enjoy about my role is the opportunity to get out of Auckland. It's always a good thing, right? I'm not an Aucklander, let's just be clear about that right now. I've only had 17 years in Auckland, but my hard home is the Bay of Plenty. My whānau is in a Hopi Beach, if you know that part of the word, Whakatane. Grew up in Rotorua, so that's kind of my heart place. But Auckland is the place where God has led me to be, so be it. I tried getting out twice, didn't work. Look, as I start, I just want to say thank you. We realise at NZBMS that our churches have a choice, and you as individuals, as whānau units, that you have a choice about engaging in appeals like prayer and self-denial. And so thank you. Thank you so much. Ngā mihi nui, thank you for being a part of this. On behalf of not only the Auckland-based team, those in Tauranga and here in Wellington, we have staff in different places, but certainly on behalf of our staff team in Asia, and on behalf of those that they serve in the places where God has led them. I want to read this morning from 2 Corinthians 5. I don't know if you can read that on screen. We'll see how we go. 5, the second half of 14 to 21. Since we believe that Christ died for us all, we also believe that we have all died to our old life. He died for everyone so that those who receive his new life will no longer live for themselves. Instead, they will live for Christ, who died and was raised for them. So we have stopped evaluating others from a human point of view. At one time, we thought of Christ merely from a human point of view, but how differently we know him now. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone and a new life has begun. And all of this is a gift from God, who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. For God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin so that we could be made right with God through Christ. Listen to the statements in that piece of scripture. Those who receive his new life no longer live for themselves. How differently we know him now. Anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old is gone and a new life has begun. This is a gift from God. And God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. We are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. Some pretty strong statements in that piece of scripture. We have been given this incredible privilege and a mandate to get on board with what God is doing, to be his ambassadors, to share a message of reconciliation and a gift that is freely given from him to those who don't know about it. This is God's mission. It is not ours. And I wonder sometimes if we think we came up with the idea of saving the world. Certainly conversations that I have with some inquirers at times would indicate that that's what they believe. But let's be really, really clear. This is God's mission. Mission is of God. In sending his son, a savior, to redeem a very fallen world, he established his church, his people, us, to assist him in sharing the message of the good news of Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit. So as Paul indicates to the Corinthians, let's get on board. But what is God doing? How is his Spirit directing, convicting, strengthening, preparing, changing hearts, minds, attitudes through his church to make people and places new, to usher in that new generation? Where do I fit in that? Well, perhaps I can best unpack some of that right now through sharing some of the stories that is going on through the work and the people of NZBMS. These are your people. I realise you might not know them. You might know or recognise some of them, but most you personally will probably not know. That's okay. But these are your people, because these are the folk that have been seen and supported by Baptist churches around Aotearoa, New Zealand, commissioned by Baptist churches. And so by virtue of you being a Baptist church, these are your people. So let me share a few stories. In January this year, we had our annual media trip where we take various people and we go through our fields and we gather images and video footage for use through the coming year and a half. I don't usually go on that trip. I have other people that do that far better than I can, but it was a privilege to go and join them for the 3.5 weeks, 3.5 weeks in 5 countries. Don't necessarily recommend that, but it was a great time. And when we got to East Asia, we spent some time with one of our local business partners, a local woman, where we are partnering with her and her team in a kindergarten, early childhood education centre, and in an English language school. Two very significant institutions in that part of the world, because education like that is, you need good, high quality, consistent education. So this woman is, Frances is her name, she is an amazing evangelist as well as a businesswoman. And we get to this part of the world and we get to this complex. This is our early childhood centre. I don't know about you, but I think it's an amazing building just from the outside. Isn't that cool? Just to have a building like that stands out a mile. Everybody knows where it is. But as we walked into that building, actually worth you knowing that we have actually not been able to utilise it to date because we've got some particularly interesting challenges with the authorities getting permissions to be actually able to occupy it. It's all set up, ready to go. It's the most incredible building inside, but we can't occupy it. So they've been trying to find other ways to utilize the building in the meantime. And we walked into the building and we met a man who was an artist. This man had come to know about the school because he'd been desperately trying to find a place, an option for education for his preschool daughter. He just wanted somewhere in a classroom like that. Not unlike a classroom in New Zealand in many ways. But every place that this man went with his daughter, he was turned away. Because you see, his daughter has autism. And here in New Zealand, we have systems now that can cope with autism, with disabilities and so on. But in that part of the world, it's a feared thing. Systems are not set up well to deal with those who are disabled, with those who have autism, with those who are on the edges of society. But Frances, this woman who leads this place, our national partner, she opened her arms to this man and his family. She welcomed him in. She welcomed his daughter in because she recognized that this was a child of God. For that little girl and her parents, they now feel accepted. They now feel loved. And their faith in Jesus, because of their welcoming experience that they had, is growing. God has made something new in their lives through the power of his Spirit because Francis bothered. We moved on to South Asia. And we had 2 days on that trip that I will never forget in a hurry. We arrived into the town of Serampore, otherwise known as Serampore. And if you know your Christian mission history, it's the town of William Carey. William Carey is known as the father of modern mission in the 1700s, no less, but still the father of modern mission. And we started, as we walked in, by visiting a former Hindu temple on the banks of the Hooghly River. Who names these rivers? Hooghly. What is that about? But anyway, which in the 1700s, this temple had been abandoned. But then a missionary named Henry Martin from the UK came along and he repurposed that temple as his home and a house of prayer because he'd come to that region in about 1803 to, quote, burn out for God. It was abandoned again by about 1845, and today it looks like that. It is a ruin and it is held together by the tree that is growing up through the middle. They do say you take the vegetation out, the building will fall down. But today it has become a place for our team, for Kiwi people who live in that region, to go and to continue to pray as Henry Martin once did some 200 years ago. To pray for God to make new the people and the places of not only that city, but of that land through the power of his Spirit. I've stood twice in that pagoda and I have prayed for that place and for its people. And I have twice been moved to tears, and trust me, that takes an awful lot to happen. There is a real sense of God continuing to do something in that place by the power of his Spirit. And a promise that although the building has been abandoned twice, God has not done likewise to his people. God is there. He is doing something new. And it's pretty exciting. On day 2 in that same area, we got up and we began by celebrating the nation's Republic Day. And then we breakfasted with the Serampore College community. This is the college that this year celebrates its 200th anniversary. It's the theological college that William Carey began in 1818. It is still a theological college. It is also a college where a tertiary institution where people come from all over India and beyond to do an arts degree as well. But to be present and hear the prayers of the believers for their own place, the prayers for themselves that they would be God's ambassadors so that others would have new life, so that there would be a new generation of people, that was a privilege. And our Kiwi team members, Peter and Leonora, are in the midst of it all. Later in that day, we moved down to the river and we came across a Saraswati Puja, Puja is a worship ceremony. It's a festival time in Hinduism. And Saraswati is one of the idols, is the god of knowledge, I think it is, education. And these people were taking this Saraswati idol down to the river to be floated on the water, as is usual normal practice at the end of a puja time. So we stopped to let these people, young and old, walk past us, and we kind of just snuck on the back of it, and we thought, we'll just go and see what they do. These people who have put their faith in an inanimate God. And I was reminded again that it is for these people that Jesus came to this earth. That anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old is gone and a new life has begun. That is why our team is in that place. To be ambassadors, to undertake a task given to them by God to reconcile others to himself. God, by your Spirit, will you make all things new. Later in the day, we went across the river on a boat, and we went to a Gandhi memorial, one of many places where Gandhi's ashes are scattered. And we started, we were waiting at the top of this jetty to catch that boat to return back across the river to Serampore. It's one of those jetties, it's bamboo. And when the river has problems, if it's floods or monsoon, those jetties regularly get washed away and they just rebuild. What you can't see is the filth and the smell on the side of the river. But while we were waiting, the three of the men of our group who were at the top of the stairs behind where that photo was taken from were approached by a young man just to say hello. Not necessarily unusual in a place where foreigners suddenly appear where there are no foreigners. This young man had excellent English and he was studying at master's level. He'd seen us wandering around the town and he wanted to know who we were. And the conversation very quickly turned to Jesus. And this young man was utterly fascinated. Who is this Jesus? The conversation deepened, the boat arrived, we scrambled to get on. And as we jumped on, we said to him, "Are you coming?" He said, "Sure, why not?" So the conversation continued, crossed the water, through the streets of Serampore back to where we were staying. By this point, he was so intrigued about Christ that when we got to our partners, our staff's home, they rushed inside and they grabbed a New Testament to gift this young man. And our team said to him, "Will you call us? Will you call us with questions?" We found out later on that within 24 hours, that man had devoured that New Testament and had rung Peter and Leonora hungry to know more. It was a pretty incredible 2 days, and even our Kiwi people, Peter and Leonora, who have been in that part of the world for nearly 20 years, said they hadn't experienced 2 days quite like it. Just those little moments constantly throughout that time of Jesus making his presence known. But what do I do? How do I be part of this sitting here in New Zealand? Would you just pray? As the video indicated, please don't ever, ever underestimate the place and the power of prayer for people like these. Through prayer, you are partnering with God. Actually, whether you're here in New Zealand or whether you're overseas doesn't matter. You stand with other believers around the world. Pray for leaders of countries. Even our own needs our prayers. Pray for those who have been sent, whether you know them or not. You don't necessarily need to know the details. God knows those. But pray as you would want to be prayed for if you were in that situation. And if God wakes you up in the middle of the night for some reason, please pray. There'll be a reason. When we visited the kindergarten in East Asia with that man and his autistic daughter, while we were being shown around, at one point we felt very, very deeply that we needed to stop and pray immediately for that tricky situation with the authorities that had happened actually just the day before. And as we finished that prayer, very simple prayer, and we continued on, Francis, the leader of that business, pulled me aside and she said, "Rachel, I have a complete sense of peace," these are her words, "that God has this in hands after praying with you all." And I indicated to her that there were actually many more people praying for her and for the situation in New Zealand. And she said, "You have no idea how encouraging that is to know that so many, even though they don't know us, stand with us." Would you give? The joys of money. We do need money involved. And that's why we have appeals like prayer and self-denial. Funds for education, basic living, ministry development, local salaries, property management, implementation, resource and investment, discipleship, it goes on. Just because it's overseas, unfortunately, doesn't always make it cheaper. I've just had a board meeting for the last 2 days in which finance is always on our agenda. So many needs, so many requests, so much we could do, and we trust God that He will provide as and when required. Would you support? Take an interest. Paul saw in others something to be developed, who had a call in their own right. Paul needed others on his journeys. There were people that he relied on to assist him as he preached and he taught around the region. People that he sent to the churches of the regions on his behalf. Others that worked with him through the giving of encouragement, financial support, hospitality, Epaphroditus, Lydia, Priscilla, Aquila, Phoebe, Jason, Judas, Gaius, we could go on, but you could be that support to someone who goes. A simple visit even goes a long way. In January in Thailand, on our last night, we visited a village that we've partnered with for some years. Our Kiwi staff who were up there arranged for us to go out and visit that village, but they didn't. They just told them that a group from New Zealand was coming. They didn't tell them who. Of the four of us that went out, two of us have been before, two of us had not. It was dark when we arrived, and one of my colleagues who had visited previously walked in the door first. And the Thai couple that we work with, this is them. The guy in the middle is Alistair Hall, who's the pastor at Manukau City Baptist in Auckland. He was with us that trip. But we're a Chai on this side. Yeah, that side. We're a Chai and his wife, Dudu, on the other. Saw Mark walk in the door and they squealed, Dudu squealed, rushed to Mark for a massive hug, having seen him a year earlier, because they recognised him straight away. Then I walked in the door behind the scene, and Dudu, the wife, peeled herself off Mark. She squealed again and she rushed over to me for a hug and she burst into tears, turned around and rushed into the kitchen of their home. And I followed her through there and I asked her in my non-existent Thai, lots of hand gestures, "Dudu, why are you crying?" And she responded in her very broken English, "You came back. You came back." I lost the plot, lots of tears, away we went. But for them, they saw more deeply after multiple visits that we cared, that this was a partnership, that we weren't going away. The longevity of that partnership and that support means that together, between Thailand and New Zealand, we can be ambassadors for Christ in that place, seeking to bring a new generation of believers into existence. And you can go. All people are needed. You know the verses, I'm sure. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest to send people out into his harvest field. How can they call on the one that they have not believed in? How can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? How can they hear without someone preaching to them? How can anyone preach unless they are sent? A couple of months ago, we held a very special prayer evening for Bangladesh. Bangladesh is a place where we as New Zealand Baptists have served continuously for 133 years. Continuously. It's a place that is pretty broken in places, but it's actually an incredibly rich and diverse country. It is a place that continues to need to be made new by the power of the Holy Spirit. So we're wondering, what is God continuing to say to us as a denomination about our service there in the future? Under agreements with the local government, which is quite amazing, it's an Islamic country, We have visa slots in education, in pastoring, in discipling, in maintenance, in accounts, and so much more, and we can't fill them. We have an open door to an extent, and we can't get people to go. So we prayed that night, God, who is next? Who will you next use as your ambassador to that place, to these people that you desire to see a new spirit within? You know, this morning I got up from a warm, comfortable bed. You may have as well. And I chose what to have for breakfast from a variety of options. I chose what to wear. That's different than yesterday. I had no fear in leaving the building. I did not expect attack or rejection because of my faith. By the end of today, I will have worshipped freely with other believers, with you. I know today that tomorrow I have work to go to that will guarantee food on the table, medical care and security, and a roof over my head. I am grateful for more than enough education from childhood to adulthood that allows me all of that. And yet today, a little girl like this one, this little girl is 5, will wake up in the same clothes that she went to bed in, that she wore yesterday and the day before and the day before that. She may walk a few miles to collect hopefully clean water so she can return to her home to boil up a small amount of rice for herself and for her family. Her mother has been abused by her husband and does the best that she can to raise her children while her husband does diddly squat. She has to avoid, this little girl, has to avoid the man in the same village who seeks to do her harm by abducting her and selling her to a brothel in a faraway place. She desperately wants to go to school to learn to read and to write and to play with other children, but she's needed at home to work. So she accepts that she has no choices and she continues to survive, not to live, but to survive. How does a little girl like that come to be made new, physically, emotionally, economically, spiritually, if no one prays, if no one supports, if no one tells her of the God who can bring her new life? God, through your Spirit and us, your ambassadors, make all things new. I love being part of God's work in his world. Some of those, the reason for that is that we can get alongside the local people with a heart for their own, to engage with village education projects for children like these in the middle of rural Bangladesh, or children like these in northeast India and hostels that New Zealand Baptists support, so that they will have a future that will be more secure for themselves that their parents never had, where they are learning about Jesus and they are influencing their own and the next generation for good and for Christ. I love being part of God's work in his world, where we can stand for integrity in the midst of challenges like corruption and extortion and greed and persecution that our team faces every day. Where we can stand to show that there is another way, that we do not have to accept that, and because we have a God who is way bigger than all of that. Or there's the women from our businesses who are being baptized, having found freedom in every sense of the word from the trauma that they've been subjected to. Now they have a hunger because they know who Jesus is. They have a relationship with him. They have a hunger to study the scriptures, and some are saying, now it's time to make a stand for him. Don't underestimate the power of baptism. In places like this part of the world, baptism is the very, very public stand. And some people, by doing so, I get cut off from their families, and that's when the persecution starts. Alcoholism, abuse, gambling, it's all being reduced because we choose to walk alongside and journey with folk to be freed from these issues. What has been made new look like for the juice seller on the streets of the Hooghly River in India? What does it look like for the millions of apartment dwellers in East Asia It's hard to see in that photo, but every little dent in that is an apartment. For the Muslim woman who plies the river in Bangladesh. For the fishermen of the wider region who sell their fish underneath the ferry boats so that they have something to eat for their families every day. And what has been made new look like for the people and the places here in Aotearoa, New Zealand. You know, wherever we find ourselves, whether it's across our backyard fences, out our front doors, or across a border, our role as followers of Jesus is to be present, to share and to show him, to be his ambassadors, to pray that the Holy Spirit will do the work that is needed so that the old is gone and the new is come. God, through your Spirit, make all things new. I want to finish with a prayer that comes from the Baptist Union of Great Britain. You may have heard it before, doesn't matter. But as I pray it, can I encourage you to ask yourselves, where do I fit in this? What is my response to this? What is God saying to me? Let me pray. Among the poor, among the proud, among the persecuted, and among the privileged, Christ is coming to make all things new. In the private house, in the public place, in the wedding feast and in the judgment hall, Christ is coming to make all things new. With a gentle touch and with an angry word, with a clear conscience and with burning love, Christ is coming to make all things new. That the kingdom might come, that the world might believe, that the powerful might stumble and that the hidden might be seen, Christ is coming to make all things new. Within us, without us, behind us and before us, in this place and in every place, for this time and for all time, Christ is coming to make all things new. Amen.